Chapter 2. What happened? What the hell happened? Maritza panted at Yadriel's side as they raced through the cemetery. She kept saying it over and over again, like a haunting mantra. Yadriel had never seen her so shook up before, and it made everything so much worse. Usually, he was the one panicking under tense situations, while she just shrugged things off with a joke. But this was no laughing matter. There was no sign of Tito. Yadriel could hear frantic voices across the cemetery. They sprinted past a couple of confused-looking spirits. "What's going on?" Felipe called to them, anxiously gripping the neck of his fijuela as they ran by. "I don't know," was all Yadriel could say. Because the Brujex were tied so closely to life and death, to spirits and the living, when one of their own died, they all felt it. The first time it happened to Yadriel, he was only 5 years old. He woke up in the middle of the night, as if from a nightmare, with only the thought of his abuelito in his mind. When he got out of bed and crept to his grandparents' room, his abuelito lay motionless. His abuelita sat by his side, holding tightly to his hand, whispering prayers into his ear, tears streaming down her wrinkled cheeks. His father stood on the other side, Diego tucked under his arm. His dad's expression had been stoic and pensive, a deep sadness in his dark eyes. Yadriel's mother folded him into her arms, gently rubbing his back as they said their goodbyes. His abuelito had died in his sleep. It had been gentle and painless. The only thing that had woken Yadriel was a sudden sense of loss, like cold water dropping into his stomach. But this was different. Whatever had happened to Miguel was not a gentle passing. There had to be some sort of mistake. It didn't make sense. Even though he'd felt it, even though he knew exactly what it meant, there was no way Miguel was dead. Miguel was Yadriel's cousin, and only 28 years old. Yadriel had just seen him earlier that night when he stopped by the house to snag some of Lita's concha before he started his graveyard shift. Had there been an accident? Maybe Miguel had left the cemetery and had been hit by a car? There was no way he could have been killed while in the cemetery, was there? They needed to get home and find out what had taken Miguel so violently from this life. Maritza's legs were longer than Yadriel's, and his binder hugged tight around his ribs, making it difficult for him to keep up. The weight of his portaje tucked into his backpack felt especially heavy. They rounded the corner and ran into chaos unfolding. Loud voices, people running in and out of the house. Shadows moved back and forth behind the curtains. Maritza wrenched open the gate in the chain-link fence and bounded up the stairs, Yadriel right on her heels. He nearly got knocked over by someone rushing out the front door, but he managed to wedge his way inside. Their house was small enough to begin with, and in the weeks leading up to Dia de Muertos, cramped was putting it lightly. Every surface was used as storage for the impending celebrations. Precariously stacked boxes full of prayer candles, silk monarch butterflies, and hundreds of colorful, meticulously cut papel picado were piled on the worn leather couch. The dining room table had been pushed against the wall and was covered in white sugar skulls waiting to be decorated. It should have been a scene of preparation for their most important holiday of the year, but instead it was a frenzied panic. Maritza clung to the back of Yadriel's hoodie, sticking close as they got jostled around. Miguel's mother, Claudia, sat at the dining table. Yadriel's abuelita was at her side, flanked by other brujas. They rubbed her arms and spoke gentle words in Spanish, but Claudia was inconsolable. Grief rolled off her in waves. Yadriel could feel it in his bones. The deep wails of primal mourning made him wince. He knew those cries all too well. He had experienced them himself. Yadriel could only watch as his abuelita worked her magic. She continued to speak calmly into Claudia's ear as she pulled her portaje from under the neck of her black blouse, embroidered with colorful flowers. It was an old rosary of wooden beads with a pewter sacred heart hanging at the end. With deft fingers, Lita unscrewed the top and smeared chicken blood across the sacred heart. "Usa mis manos," she said in a soft, steady voice, calling to Lady Death. As she murmured, the rosary shimmered with golden light. "Te doy tranquilidad de espíritu." Lita pressed the end of the rosary to Claudia's forehead. After a moment, the sobs began to subside. Claudia's pained expression ebbed away, smoothing the pinched lines in her face. Yadriel could feel Claudia's pain slowly fade to a dull ache. Her shoulders sloped until she sat back in the chair, limbs heavy. Her hands came to a rest in her lap. And though her face was flushed and tears steadily fell, her suffering was far less severe. The glowing light of Lita's rosary faded until it was back to pewter and wood. Yadriel had once asked his mom why they didn't just take all of someone's pain when they were sad. She had explained it was important to let people feel grief and mourn the loss of a loved one. Yadriel respected his grandmother and all the brujas and the incredible powers they possessed. Those powers had just never been his. Hiccups racked Claudia's chest as Lita removed her rosary, leaving a smudge of red on her puckered brow. One of the brujas handed Claudia a glass of water. Another dabbed gently at her cheeks with a tissue. "Día de Muertos is only a couple days away," Lita reminded Claudia in her heavily accented English. She gave Claudia's hand a squeeze with a small smile. "You will see Miguel again." She was right, of course, but Yadriel didn't think that would provide Claudia with much comfort right now. Lita had told him the same thing when his mother had died. He understood they were lucky in that way, to be able to see their dead loved ones again. But that didn't make him feel better in the moment. A visit for 2 days once a year could never make up for the loss of having them around all the time. And there was another problem. If Miguel hadn't passed to the land of the dead, if he was still tethered to this world, he couldn't return during Día de Muertos. What had happened to him? Someone rushing out of the kitchen bumped into Yadriel, and the sound of his father's voice snagged his attention. He tore his eyes away from Claudia and wove through bodies to get to the kitchen, Maritza following close behind him. Inside the kitchen, a handful of brujos stood in a group, their eyes on Yadriel's father. Enrique Velez Cabrera was a tall man, genes that Yadriel had decidedly not inherited, with an average build. He had a bit of a gut, which pressed against the red checkered shirt he wore tucked into his jeans. Enrique had kept the same modest haircut and bushy mustache for as long as Yadriel could remember. The only difference now was the salt and pepper hair at his temples. After Yadriel's grandfather passed away, Enrique had taken up the position as leader of the East LA Brujex. Lita was his right hand, serving as the matriarch of the family and spiritual leader. Enrique was well respected and looked up to. All the men in the room gave him their undivided attention, especially Diego, Yadriel's older brother, who stood at Enrique's side, nodding vigorously at every instruction his dad gave.
We need to find Miguel Esportaje. If he hasn't passed on to the land of the dead, he'll be tethered to it, Enrique told the group, gripping the edge of the small wooden table. His voice was low and gravelly, his eyes intense. Yadriel looked around, and every brujo's face held varying degrees of shock. People are already searching the cemetery. He was on shift tonight. But I need more to go to Claudia and Benny's house, Enrique told them. Even though Miguel had been in his late 20s, he'd still lived at home to help his disabled father. Miguel was kind and patient, and he'd always been good to Yadriel. A lump lodged in his throat. Yadriel tried to swallow it down. Someone get one of Miguel's shirts and go wake up Julio. We might need his dogs, Enrique added, and another brujo ran off. Julio was a cranky old brujo who raised pit bulls and trained them to track by scent. It was a skill that came in handy for locating bodies and tethers of lost spirits. Search everywhere. Enrique stood upright, his eyes searching the crowded kitchen. Has anyone seen... Dad! Yadriel pushed his way to the front. Enrique's head snapped to him, shocked relief hitting his face. Yadriel! He grabbed Yadriel and crushed him into his chest, squeezing his arms around him tight. Ay, Dios mío! His rough hands cupped Yadriel's face as he pressed a kiss to the top of his head. Yadriel tensed, automatically resisting the sudden physical contact. His dad gripped his shoulders, looking down at him with a frown. I was worried something had happened to you. Yadriel stepped back, pulling free of his dad's hold. I'm fine. Where were you two? Diego demanded, his light brown eyes darting between him and Maritza. Yadriel hesitated. Maritza gave a useless shrug. There was a reason they had performed Yadriel's portaje ceremony in secret. A reason that Maritza spent so long making his dagger without her dad knowing. The Brujex practices were built on ancient tradition. Going against those traditions was seen as blasphemous. When Yadriel had refused to be presented to Lady Death for his quinces as a bruja, they wouldn't let him go through with it as a brujo. It was out of the question. It wouldn't work, they told him. Just because he said he was a boy, that didn't change the way Lady Death gave her blessings. They wouldn't even let him try. It was easier to hide behind their traditions than to challenge their own beliefs and understanding of how things in the world of the Brujex worked. It made Yadriel feel ashamed of who he was. Their blatant rejection felt personal because it was personal. It was an outright rejection of who he was. A transgender boy trying to find his place in their community. But they were wrong. Lady Death had answered him. Now, he just needed to prove it. Orlando rushed into the kitchen, pulling his dad's attention. Did you find him? Enrique asked. Orlando shook his head. We're still sweeping the cemetery, but there's no sign of him yet, he said, taking off his baseball cap and wringing it in his hands. We haven't been able to sense him or anything. It's like he just vanished. Dad, Yadriel tried to make himself taller. How can I help? Everyone's eyes went right over his head. More of you start searching the streets. Fan out from the front gate, Enrique said, a heavy hand still resting on Yadriel's shoulder. He wouldn't have just left his shift for no reason. Orlando nodded and headed for the door. Yadriel moved to follow, but his dad held tight to his shoulder. Not you, Yadriel, he said, calm but firm. But I can help, Yadriel insisted. Another brujo slipped into the kitchen, and Yadriel felt a pluck of hope in his chest. Tío Catriz was his father's older brother, though just looking at them, it was difficult to tell. While Enrique Vélez Cabrera was broad and rounded, Catriz Vélez Cabrera was lanky and angular. He wore his long black hair looped into a knot at the base of his neck. He had high cheekbones and a hooked nose. Traditional flared plugs made of jade and the size of a quarter adorned his earlobes.
"There you are, Catriz," Enrique sighed.
"Tío," Yadriel said, feeling less outnumbered. Catriz threw Yadriel a small grin before turning to his brother.
"I came as soon as I felt it," he said,
a little winded, his fine eyebrows pulled together.
"Miguel, is he..."
Yadriel's dad nodded. Catriz gave a slow, somber shake of his head. Several brujos in the room crossed themselves. Yadriel couldn't take all the standing around. He wanted to do something. He wanted to help. Miguel was family and a good man. He helped provide for his family and had always been kind to Yadriel. One of Yadriel's favorite childhood memories was of riding around on the back of Miguel's motorcycle. Yadriel's parents had explicitly forbidden him from going anywhere near it. But if he begged enough, Miguel would always give in. Yadriel remembered how his helmet was way too big and heavy, as Miguel would give him a ride around the block, barely going 10 miles an hour. Realizing he'd never see him alive again hit Yadriel with a fresh wave of grief.
"What if we can't find him?"
Andres asked, breaking the quiet. He was a skinny, freckle-faced boy, and also Diego's best friend. The muscles in his dad's jaw tensed. People exchanged looks.
"Keep searching. We need to find his portaje," Enrique told them. "If we can summon his spirit, we can ask him what happened."
He rubbed his fist across his brow. Clearly his dad didn't think Miguel had died and simply passed peacefully to the afterlife. Yadriel agreed. He just couldn't see how that could have happened with how violently his death felt.
"Hopefully, it'll be with his body."
Yadriel's stomach clenched at the idea of finding Miguel's lifeless body lying somewhere in their cemetery. Andre's face turned an impressive shade of green. Yadriel couldn't believe he used to have a crush on him. Enrique picked up his portaje from the counter. It was a hunting knife, much larger and more severe than Yadriel's, but still understated compared to the style of the young brujos' portajes. Like Diego's and Andres's, their knives were longer, with a slight curve, too big to be practical or easily concealed. They got their names engraved into the blades and added flashy charms. A small cross hung on a 1-inch chain from Andres's hilt. Diego's had a gold-plated calavera.
"Gaudy,"
Maritza called them. Adornments were impractical and completely unnecessary.
"We need to get going," Enrique said, and everyone started to move. This was it.
He would help them find Miguel and lay his cousin to rest in the Brujex graveyard. This was the duty of the brujos, so he would do it. Now that he had his own portaje, maybe Yadriel could even be the one to release Miguel's spirit to the afterlife. Yadriel stepped to follow his dad, but Enrique held out his arm to stop him.
"Not you. You stay here," he instructed.
Yadriel's stomach plummeted.
"But I can help,"
he insisted.
"No, Yadriel."
A loud ringing had Enrique digging his cell phone out of his pocket. He swiped his thumb across the screen and lifted it to his ear.
"Benny, did you find him?"
he asked, expression tense. Everyone in the group stilled.
Yadriel could hear rushed Spanish on the other side. But his father's shoulders slumped.
No, we haven't either.
He sighed, rubbing his forehead.
We're trying to gather more people to help search.
Yadriel leaped at the opportunity.
I can help,
he repeated. His dad turned away from him and continued to speak into the phone.
No, we haven't.
Yadriel scowled, frustration boiling over.
Dad, he insisted, stepping in front of him. Let me help.
No, Yadriel,
Enrique hissed, frowning as he tried to hear the voice on the other line. Normally, Yadriel wasn't prone to arguing with his dad, but this was important. He looked around to the brujos in the room for someone to listen to him, but they were already filing out. Except for Tio Catriz, who gave Yadriel a puzzled look. When his dad made for the front door, fierce determination made Yadriel step in his way.
If you'd just listen to me.
Yadriel wrestled his backpack off his shoulder and yanked open the zipper.
Yadriel!
He plunged his hand inside, fingers grasping the hilt of his portaje.
Look!
Basta!
Enrique's shout made Yadriel jump. His dad was an even-tempered man. It genuinely took a lot to get him rattled or for him to lose his temper. It was part of what made him a good leader. Seeing his dad's face so red, hearing the sharpness of his voice was jarring. Even Diego, standing just behind Enrique, was startled. The room fell silent. Yadriel felt every pair of eyes on him. He snapped his mouth shut. The cut on his tongue stung, sharp and metallic. Enrique jabbed a finger toward the living room.
You stay here with the rest of the women.
Yadriel flinched. Hot shame flooded his cheeks. He released the dagger, letting it fall to the bottom of his backpack. He glared up at his dad in an attempt to look fierce and defiant, even though his eyes burned and his hands quaked.
The rest of the women, he repeated, spitting the words out as if they were poisonous.
Enrique blinked, anger flickering to confusion, as though Yadriel were suddenly coming into focus before him. He removed his cell phone from his ear. His shoulders sank. His expression went slack.
Yadriel,
he sighed, reaching out for him. But Yadriel wasn't going to stick around to listen. Maritza tried to stop him.
Yads.
He couldn't take the look of pity on her face. He veered out of her reach.
Don't.
Yadriel turned and shoved past the onlookers, escaping through the door that led to the garage. It banged against the wall before slamming shut behind him as he stomped down the small set of stairs. The lights sputtered on, revealing organized chaos. His dad's car was parked off to one side. Seething, Yadriel paced back and forth over the oil-stained concrete, his breath ragged as his ribs strained against his binder. Anger and embarrassment warred inside him. He wanted to scream or break something. Or both. His dad's face. The look of regret when he realized what he'd said to Yadriel flashed in his mind. Yadriel was always forgiving people for being callous, for misgendering him and calling him by his dead name. He was always giving them the benefit of the doubt, or writing it off as people not understanding or being stuck in their ways when they hurt him. Well, Yadriel was tired of it. He was tired of forgiving. He was tired of fighting to just exist and be himself.
He was tired of being the odd one out. But belonging meant denying who he was. Living as something he wasn't had nearly torn him apart from the inside out. But he also loved his family and his community. It was bad enough being an outsider. What would happen if they just couldn't, or wouldn't, accept him for who he was? Frustration broke in Yadriel's chest. He kicked the tire of the car with his combat boot, which did nothing but make pain explode in his foot. Yadriel cussed loudly and hobbled over to an old stool. Wincing, he sat down heavily. Stupid move. He scowled at the black sedan, and his angry reflection stared back at him from the windshield. All the running had made his hair fall out of place, short on the sides with a swath of hair on top. Yadriel put a lot of time into styling it. His hair was one of the few things about his appearance he could control. While he couldn't get button-up shirts to fit right, either they were too tight across his chest and hips, or comically huge, he could at least get his hair faded and use what little allowance he got on Suavecito pomade. It was the only stuff that could wrangle his thick mass of wavy black hair. He couldn't thin out his round cheeks, but he could grow his eyebrows in thick and dark. The combat boots were as much practical as they were aesthetic. They gave him an extra inch of height that, while minuscule, helped him feel less self-conscious about how short he was compared to the average 16-year-old boy. It was small changes, like mirroring how Diego and his friends dressed or wore their hair, that made him feel more at home in his own skin. There was a rustling from the corner, followed by a curious trilling mule. A small cat ambled out from behind a stack of cardboard boxes. Although, she looked more like a cartoonist's rendition of a cat, with a large notch in one ear, and her left eye always squinting. Her spine was bony and a little askew. The tip of her tail was practically bald, and she held her back leg awkwardly. A heavy sigh released some of the anger in Yadriel's chest. "Come here, Burgaso," he cooed, holding his hand out. With another happy trill, she hobbled over to Yadriel, the bell on her blue collar tinkling as she went. She rubbed up against his leg, leaving tufts of gray fur on his black jeans. Yadriel managed a small grin, running his fingers down her crooked back before scratching under her chin, just where she liked it. He was rewarded with loud purrs. Burgaso had joined the family when Yadriel was 13 years old. It was around then his mother had tried teaching him how to heal. Brujas usually learned their trade long before their portaje ceremony, the women in the family walking them through the steps. Yadriel's mom had been trying to dip his toes into the healing waters, but even at 13, he knew it wouldn't work. Yadriel knew he wasn't a bruja. He'd already come out to Maritza, but he still hadn't worked up the courage to tell his mom. The closer it got to his quinces, the more panicked he became. Everyone figured he was just a late bloomer, or maybe he was just nervous about coming of age. That's why, when he and his mom found a small gray cat on the side of the road walking back from school one day, she decided to use it as a teaching moment. They could sense the cat was injured, even without seeing the way she limped. Maybe she'd been hit by a car, or lost a fight with a dog, or one of the terrifying raccoons that ran the streets at night. Yadriel felt a small pang in the corner of his mind, could feel the pain radiating from her leg. When he was younger, Yadriel hated the Brujek's ability to sense others' pain. He'd always been terribly empathetic, and being able to sense so much suffering in the world affected him. Yadriel's mom had set him down on the curb and gathered the cat into her billowy skirt. She unwrapped her portaje from her wrist, a jade rosary ending in a vessel that, at first glance, looked like Our Lady of Guadalupe. But if you looked closely, you'd see the figure was actually a skeleton. His mom unscrewed the top, let the chicken blood drip onto her finger, and then brushed it across the statuette of Lady Death. She spoke the words, and golden light illuminated the rosary. It was such a small injury to fix, and on such a tiny creature, Yadriel should have been able to heal it easily with his mom's help. With her warm smile and gentle encouragement, he held the rosary to the cat's leg. His hand quaked, scared that something would go wrong, or worse, that it would work, showing that he was supposed to be a bruja. His mom placed her hand over his and gave it a small squeeze. Yadriel spoke the final words, but it backfired. He could still picture the drops of scarlet on his mother's white skirt, the terrible yowl, the sudden sharp pain of the poor cat piercing into his head, the stunned look on his mother's face. It couldn't have lasted more than a couple of seconds before she'd taken the cat and quickly healed it herself. In a blink, the terrible sound had stopped. The pain vanished. The small cat's eyes closed, a ball of fur in his mom's lap. Yadriel had been inconsolable, convinced for a long moment that he had killed the poor creature. His mom pulled him to her side and spoke gently into his ear.
"Shh. It's all right. She's okay. She's just sleeping. You see?"
But all Yadriel could see was his failure. All he could feel was the crushing weight of knowing he couldn't do it. But more than that, he knew this wasn't him. He wasn't a bruja. His mom brushed her cool fingers along the side of his face, pushing his hair from his eyes. "It's okay," she'd said, like she knew it too. His mother hadn't been able to patch the cat back together completely. The backfire had done damage not even she could repair, but the cat wasn't in pain. They took her home, and Yadriel diligently went to work, making sure she was well fed and taken care of. Even now, she slept in his room every night, and Yadriel always snuck her bits of chorizo and chicken after dinner. Yadriel's mom had affectionately named the cat Purcaso, after the famous artist's crooked paintings. Purcaso was more than a cat, much closer to a companion. When Yadriel missed his mom, it was like Purcaso knew. When he got that dropping feeling of guilt in his stomach, Purcaso would curl up in his lap, loudly purring. She was a ball of warmth and comfort in which his mother's magic still lived. Purcaso curled up against the toe of his shoe. Yadriel rubbed the soft fur behind her ears until her amber eyes slid shut. His mom never pressured him to try healing again. In a community built on such staunch tradition, the news that Yadriel couldn't heal, to them, meant he didn't have magic. His quinces was postponed indefinitely. The Brujex thought he was just a product of the dilution of magic slowly working its way through their lineage. But Yadriel and his mom knew the truth. She bought him his first binder online and helped him tell his dad and brother. It was hard explaining himself and his identity, not only to his family, but to their entire community. They still didn't understand, clearly, but at least with his mom around, they were working through it together. His mom championed for Yadriel to be given a Brujos's quinces, to be welcomed into the community as he was, a boy. She'd taken on the task of trying to explain to his dad that he was a brujo. He was a boy. "He can't just choose to be a brujo," he'd heard Enrique say from the kitchen one night as he and Camila spoke quietly over sweet coffee. "It's not a choice," his mother had said, her voice calm but firm. "It's who he is." She told Yadriel the others just needed time to understand. But Yadriel's mom, his advocate, had been taken away from him less than a year ago. Without her, there was no one to stick up for him. Now, he was treated as a magicless brujex, someone who could see spirits and sense suffering, but who would never be a full member of their community. What a mess. The voice made Yadriel jump. He looked up and found Catriz standing at the door, a cigarillo between his fingers. He looked tired, his expression one of grim understanding. Yadriel's posture relaxed. "Tio," he sighed. His eyes slid back to the door, wondering if maybe his dad would follow his uncle out here. "Don't worry," Tio Catriz said, taking a drag from his cigarillo as he descended the steps. "Your father and the other brujos already left." He pulled up a plastic lawn chair and sat next to Yadriel. "It's just you and me." Catriz placed his hand on the crown of Yadriel's head and grinned. "Como siempre." Yadriel sighed a laugh. A small part of him had hoped his dad would be the one to follow him and apologize. But his uncle was right. It was always the two of them on the outskirts of the brujex. At least they had each other. And Catriz understood Yadriel's yearning, unlike Maritza, who was entirely uninterested in being a part of the brujex and had no qualms about being an outcast. She seemed to enjoy being contrary. Yadriel stuffed his hands into the pocket of his black hoodie. "I can't believe Miguel." He trailed off, not wanting to speak the words. Catriz gave a slow shake of his head and took a long drag from his cigarillo. "So young. So sudden," he said, smoke billowing from his nostrils. "I wish I could help, but..." He shrugged his angular shoulders. "They don't find me of much use." Yadriel let out a short laugh. Yeah, he knew that feeling all too well. "What the hell happened to him?" he asked, repeating the same words Maritza had said earlier. Catriz sighed deeply. Yadriel followed his uncle's gaze to the door, beyond which he could still hear muffled voices. "By the sound of it, your dad has already rallied the troops to find out." Yadriel nodded stiffly, the earlier exchange with his dad burrowing its way back under his skin. "All the brujos," he grumbled under his breath, toying with Burcaso's tail. "Well, not all of them," Catriz pointed out casually. Yadriel winced at his own insensitivity. Catriz had long since been left out of the brujos and their tasks. It had been thousands of years since Lady Death had gifted the brujex their powers. At the beginning, the brujex powers rivaled that of the diosa. Women could regrow an entire arm or pull someone back from the brink of death with little more concentration than you'd need to do long division. The most powerful of the men could even bring the dead back to life when their spirits were beyond the brujas' reach. But now, with the dilution of power over the generations, such extravagant use of their powers was impossible. Their magic was not a bottomless well. Drawing on your power to heal the living or guide the dead pulled from that well, and it took time for it to fill up again. Brujex were getting weaker, And there were those who were born with such shallow wells of power, they could barely tap them for simple tasks without risking death. Like Catriz. Yadriel felt that his uncle was the only one, other than his mom, who really understood him. The Brujos treated Yadriel and Catriz the same. Neither had been given their quinces, nor been presented at the Aquilare during Dia de Muertos. Held on the second night of Dia de Muertos, the last night the spirits of past Brujex spent each year in the land of the living before returning to the afterlife. The Aquilare was a huge party held in the church. Every young Brujex who turned 15 and had their quinces pledged to serve Lady Death and help maintain the balance of life and death, as had all their ancestors who came before them. Then they were officially presented to the community. Yadriel and Tio Catriz both knew what it was like to see others perform their magic, to sit on the sidelines, powerless to do anything themselves. But now, Yadriel knew he could do the magic. His Tio Catriz had no such luxury. As the eldest son, Catriz should have been the leader of the Brujex after Yadriel's abuelito died. But since he wasn't able to perform magic, the title had been passed to his younger brother, Yadriel's dad, Enrique. It was an understanding that had been established long ago, when both boys were small children. But Yadriel would never forget the look on his tío's face when Enrique was presented with the sacred headdress that recognized him as the next leader of the East L.A. Brujex. Hurt and longing. Yadriel knew the feeling all too well. "Sorry, tío, I just meant..." He rushed to apologize. His tío's chuckle was warm and his smile forgiving. "It's all right. It's all right." He clapped his hand on Yadriel's shoulder. "We are alike, you and me," he told Yadriel, scratching his stubble as he nodded with a jutted chin. "They are stuck in their ways, in their traditions, following the ancient rules. Without powers, they see no use for me." When he said it, Catriz didn't sound bitter, just matter of fact. "And you, mi sobrino." Warmth bloomed in Yadriel's chest, and a smile dared to pull at his lips. Catriz hummed a sigh, giving his shoulder a squeeze. "They won't even give you a chance." Yadriel's smile fell. His heart sank. The door to the kitchen opened, and Yadriel's abuelita came stomping into the garage. Yadriel and his tío sighed in unison. Living in a multi-generational Latinx household meant privacy was always fleeting. "There you are," Lita Rosa Maria announced with a huff, snapping the hem of her apron with a flourish. Her gray hair was tied back in a knot, like she always did when she was cooking, which was, well, always. Yadriel inwardly groaned. He really didn't feel like getting lectured by his abuelita right now. He scooped up Purcaso, holding her in the crook of his arm as he got to his feet. Catriz remained sitting, taking another drag from his cigarillo. Lita propped one hand on her wide hip and shook a long finger at Yadriel. "You don't run off like that," she chided. Lita was a squat woman, even shorter than him, but with a presence that made the cockiest brujo shrink back when she scolded. She always smelled like royal violets, which lingered on Yadriel's clothes long after she released him from a back-popping hug. She had a strong, trilling Cuban accent and an even stronger personality. "Yes, Lita," Yadriel grumbled. "It's dangerous. What with poor Miguel?" She trailed off, crossing herself and muttering a quick prayer to the Dios. Maybe he was being selfish. He wasn't trying to make the situation about him. Didn't he deserve to fight for himself? But maybe now wasn't the time. Yadriel frowned. Tio Catriz caught his gaze and rolled his eyes, a grand gesture when Lita wasn't looking.
Make yourselves useful, Lita said,
crossing to the shelves as she dug through the boxes.
¿Dónde está?
She grumbled to herself, talking so fast in her thick Cuban accent that the S's at the end of her words got left behind. The garage held a plethora of artifacts and items. Glass display cases and sturdy wooden boxes held ancient weapons and carvings. Sacred regalia and featherwork were kept in the house in fancy containers away from light until they were taken out for special occasions, like Día de Muertos. Yadriel often got tasked with climbing into the rafters to take down boxes for whatever very specific item Lita was looking for. She pushed aside a box of chachayotes in her search, the hard shells sewn onto leather that were worn around the ankles during ceremonial dances, rattled. Purcaso's ears perked where she sat in the crook of Yadriel's arm. She leaped down to help investigate.
What are you looking for, Mama? Catriz asked, though he didn't move from his seat.
La garra del jaguar,
she snapped, as if it were obvious. Lita turned, consternation pinching her wrinkled face. Yadriel knew about the claw of the jaguar, mostly because Lita would never let him forget it. It was an ancient set of 4 ritual daggers and an amulet in the shape of a jaguar's head. The ceremonial blades had been used back when the dark art of human sacrifice was still in practice. When pierced into the hearts of 4 humans, the daggers used their spirits to feed the amulet, giving the brujex who wore it immense, but dark, power. Lita liked to pull the daggers out on special occasions, including Día de Muertos, to scare younger brujex and lecture them about the treachery of abusing their powers.
Have you seen them? Lita asked.
Catriz quirked an eyebrow, his expression placid.
Ay, yi, yi,
Lita said, flapping her hands at him dismissively. When Lita looked to Yadriel, he simply shrugged his shoulders. He didn't particularly feel like being helpful. She sighed heavily, clicking her tongue.
Your father is under a lot of stress right now, nena, Lita said solemnly.
Yadriel cringed at the offensive word. Navigating pronouns was a minefield when language was based on gender.
Ay, poor Claudia and Benny,
Lita lamented as she fanned herself with a hand, not even noticing his reaction. Anger simmered under Yadriel's skin again. She fixed him with a stern look.
This is a job for the men, and we need to leave them to it. Then,
Lita waved him toward the door.
I have pozole in the kitchen. Come warm up.
His dead name slipped from her mouth. Yadriel flinched and took a step back.
Soy Yadriel, Lita,
he snapped so suddenly that both Purcaso and Lita jumped. Catriz stared at him. Surprise quickly turned to pride. Lita blinked at him for a moment, a hand pressed to her throat. Yadriel could feel his face grow hot. The knee-jerk reaction to apologize was on the tip of his tongue, but he bit it back. She sighed and nodded.
Sí, Yadriel,
Lita agreed. She stepped closer and gently cupped his cheeks in her soft hands. She planted a kiss on his forehead, and hope lifted in his chest.
Pero siempre serás mi hijita,
she told him with a chuckle and a smile. But you'll always be my little girl. The hope came crashing down. Lita turned and went back into the house, leaving Yadriel on the steps. He scrubbed his hands over his face and clenched his jaw to keep his chin from wobbling. He should have been out with the rest of the brujos searching for Miguel. He wanted to use his portaje to show them that he wasn't powerless. He could help them find Miguel if he could just show them.
I'm so sorry, Yadriel. His tío's hand grasped his shoulder.
Yadriel dropped his hands to his sides and looked up into Tío Catriz's face. His uncle's expression was pain. Even though they were outsiders for different reasons, Catriz was the only one who could understand what Yadriel was going through. He was the only one, aside from Maritza, who put the work in to understand him. The rest of the Brujex seemed to ignore him. They were so worried about calling him by the wrong name or gender, they would avoid him altogether. But not his tío.
I wish your mom were still here, Catriz confessed.
The crushing ache of missing his mom filled every space in Yadriel's body. Sometimes it was dull, just enough to prickle if his mind wandered too far. Other times, it burned. Without her, Yadriel was floundering. What do I do? He asked, hating how desperate and defeated he sounded.
I don't know, Catriz said.
Catriz! Yadriel heard his abuelita call from inside. I need más frijoles! Catriz exhaled through his nose.
I'm just useful for reaching things on the top shelf, apparently, he said dryly.
Catriz opened the door, and the smell of chicken and chilies wafted from the kitchen. Before he went inside, Catriz paused, giving Yadriel another tired smile.
If only there was something we could do to show them how wrong they are.
Yadriel stared at the closed door after Catriz went inside. His hands tightened into fists. He went back into the house and cut through the kitchen without looking at anyone and went straight up the stairs. Yads! Maritza called after him, but he didn't stop. The small lamp on his bedside table was the only source of light in his room. Yadriel tossed his backpack onto the unmade, full-size bed shoved in the corner by the window. On his hands and knees, Yadriel dug his arm under the bed, searching for his plastic flashlight. He heard Maritza walk in behind him. Yads, she asked. What are you doing? Grabbing supplies, he said. His fingers closed around the flashlight, and he yanked it out. She frowned at him, her arms crossed. For what? If I have to prove myself in order to get them to listen, then I will. He clicked on the light to make sure the batteries still worked. If I can find Miguel's spirit, figure out what happened to him, and release him to the afterlife in time for Dia de Muertos, they'll have to let me be part of the Aquelarre. Yadriel turned to the beam on Maritza. You coming? A large grin curled her burgundy-painted lips. Oh, hell yes, I am. Yadriel smiled back. He felt dangerous and electric, adrenaline tingling through his fingers. Good. He tossed her the flashlight, which she easily caught out of the air. Yadriel stuffed an LED camping lantern and box of matches into his backpack and double-checked that the candles, bowl, and the rest of the tequila were still in there. He pulled his portaje out and removed it from the leather sheath Maritza had fashioned for it. He turned the blade over in his hands, feeling the even weight. running his thumb along the painting of Lady Death. In a few short days, his mother would return for Dia de Muertos. He would be able to see and speak to her. He would show her his portaje, and she would see he'd done it. All that was left to do was find Miguel. Yadriel turned to Maritza. You ready? She smirked, tipping her head toward the door. I've got your back.